I'm fascinated this morning. Can't get my eyes off this video of the redback spider giving it to the baby brown snake. I've realised now that the baby brown's only about a foot long or so. So if you haven't seen it, it's down at Cobram. Where is Cobram? Is it out in the bush in Victoria somewhere?
Yeah.
Right, so they've got an automotive parts factory and they're working away and one of the guys came around the corner and saw a little snake, little brown snake, stuck in the spider's web of a redback. And if you know redback spider webs, they're really rough. They're not a traditional classic web.
Oh, okay, right.
But they're very strong. So it's slithered along, got caught in this thing, and then on the video, they actually went for an hour, the actual event. So these blokes are packing automotive parts into boxes. Yeah, like how good an hour is that for them? They've all come around the corner and gone, whoa, check this out. The redback spider then descends, goes down when he knows he's got the snake in the web, goes down, gives it a bite behind the head. And within a couple of minutes, it's dead, and the spider's won. It was incredible. Actually, here's a couple of the blokes. So you imagine you're in your factory working away, and you see this.
Redback brown snake.
Another one.
That'd be the most exciting thing that had happened that day, right there.
Did you hear the bloke? He was on his forklift. He was going backwards, and he said, "Oh, right, I'm off." The beep beep noise turned off. How good.
Okay, they were loving it. And then you've been talking off air about unusual
I saw a snake jump out off a roof. Well, not jump, but it fell off the roof, landed on a bird one day. And it took about an hour for it to go. On purpose, yeah, to kill it.
See, I've seen a cat jump out of a tree onto a dog's back. Wow. And there has been, myths about the fact that if the claws go into the spinal cord, it can actually paralyze a dog. I don't know if that's actually true, but I have seen a cat jump out of a tree.
Wow. I love it when unlikely animals have a crack at each other.
unusual animal battles.
Oh,
if you've witnessed one or been a party to one, we want to know about it. Unusual animal battles.
The redback's not supposed to win that battle, surely. A snake's bigger. I love these.
And snakes are usually, you know, we've all seen the images of the snake guzzling the wallabies, you know, in North Queensland.
Yeah. Hey, what about when that kangaroo, you know, had that dog before Christmas in the headlock? That's an unlikely battle.
That is an unlikely matchup. Luke of Kalanga.
How you going?
Yeah, good. What was the unlikely animal battle you've seen?
My battle was a massive hornet, and it had a huntsman probably a little bit bigger than it, and it was dragging it through the grass because it was too heavy to lift. I followed it, went and got my phone, and I started videoing it, and I got too close to it, and the hornet dropped the huntsman and launched at me.
Jeez. Oh, no. He's come for you. You're even bigger. How's he going to get you in the nest?
I was the next target.
Jeez,
like those blokes, the blokes that who rob 7-Elevens doing in the CCTV. He had to get rid of the evidence.
Did he get you, Luke?
I launched back. I was like out of there pretty quickly. But I have got the video of it, but it's only on my Facebook. So
what do you reckon he did? He must have plunged his stinger into the huntsman, stunned him, and then was taking him home for the family.
I can only imagine it, but he couldn't lift it because it would have been too heavy for him. It was bigger than him, so.
That's amazing. Like dragging along the grass for a hornet. Along. That's great.
I could hear the leaves moving, so I thought, what was that? And then as soon as I saw it, I went and grabbed my phone and started videoing it.
You've got the video, Luke. Can you send that to us, please?
Yeah, I can. I'll jump on it.
Thanks.
Good on you, Luke.
You could become wealthy out of this, Luke.
Mick of Wynnum, what's the unlikely animal battle that you've checked out?
I got a staffy. He was in his sort of twilight years, and he usually thinks he's a lap dog, so he's inside. But we had this cat next door. It was a tomcat, and he used to kind of eat his food and just really antagonise him. Yeah. And he'd walk up to the fly screen door, and just outside, my dog would be on the inside, and this cat would be hissing and swiping at him, and he just got over it. I think he just got over it, and I heard this commotion, he burst straight through the screen door, flogged after this cat. The cat bolted and, like, just gone. And then, you know, the neighbours come over that night and says, oh, we've lost our cat. Do you know where it is? You got a cat, have you?
You got a cat. Oh, that's funny. Thank you, Mick. Well, hang on, we shouldn't say it's funny. Well, it is funny, but you know what I mean. All right, thank you, Mick.
Hey, Bill, you're out of Mount Gravatt. What animal battle is it, mate?
Oh, well, I used to drive a fuel truck at Central Queensland, and I come around the corner one day, and there was
five wedge-tailed eagles surrounding a feral cat.
Oh, wow.
And it was, five?
Yeah, I imagine they were trying to kill it, but I think my truck spooked him and the cat saw his chance and took off, but it was a pretty amazing thing to see.
Five versus one, the wedge-tailed eagles. I saw a show last night, Bill, on Discovery, where they were teaching eagles in Mongolia. They teach eagles to hunt foxes, Bill. One eagle comes, swoops down and grabs a fox. And we know from people at this very station that here in Brisbane, we don't have many foxes. So you've got to watch out for if your Pomeranian gets loose, an eagle might grab it.
Thank you, Bill. And Alex. Alex of Fernie Hills, what have you seen?
How are you guys? When I was travelling through Africa, I got to witness a crocodile swimming out from the bank of the river, catching a fish right in the middle and going to the other side, which was impressive enough. But it's sitting on the bank there basking, feeling very proud of itself. And along comes an eagle and takes the fish right out of the crocodile's mouth and pretty much perches above it and eats it.
Croc versus eagle.
That's so funny.
Impressive.
So funny. There's nothing the croc could do.
Not
just
at all.
Hanging there looking.
Oh, I don't see crocs climbing trees often.
No, you don't. And didn't the eagle know it?
That's fantastic. Now, guys from Red Bank, guys coming in late here.
Oh, is this a spoiler?
No, it's an update on the original video that you guys had watched with a redback and what we claim to be a brown snake, but I believe guys got more details on this video.
It's actually a whip snake. It wouldn't be very far off full grown. They're only a really tiny snake. Reason I know is I caught one at Waco a couple of years back. The white stripe down the side of its head, the black head and the brown body. A brown snake will generally have a reddish, pinkish stripe down the side of its head. The whip snake will make you very sick but won't kill you. So, it's probably before full-grown snake in that video.
But that's good.
Wow.
That's good details, guys. So if I've got a spider and my pet spider, I want to sick it on a snake. I want it to try and get after the one with the white stripe on the side of it. There you go.
Yeah, you don't want to be playing one with the pink stripe on it. That one will kill you.
Yeah, but I kind of wanted the redback to go the brown snake. Yeah. It seems more of a fair matchup.
Well, you know, Robin and Marta, remember we were talking, Marta, you and I were talking about the cane toads and how there's there'd been a shift in power in Brisbane with the cane toads. Remember this, Marta?
Yes.
We kept seeing carcasses where they were on their back, Robin, and then just, deceased. And some very smart listeners rang up and told us that the crows of Brisbane have worked out that if they fly down and flip them over, then they can just sort of eat them from the underside.
The poison's on their back. So they've realised rotation's the key.
So I need a whole bunch of crows.
Oh, yeah.
You could be the crazy crow woman of
Victory Pocket.
The Western Suburbs.
Crows are so much better than cane toads. You know, guys, if I had a bucket list, this would be on it. I've watched from afar for years and years the Chinchilla Melon Festival. Of course, that's one of the great places where watermelons are growing in Queensland.
Yeah.
It starts today and it goes all weekend, and you would not believe what goes on up there. Wait until you see the news on Saturday night and Sunday night. There are smashed melons all over the joint.
Well, we have with us Paul McVeigh, the Western Downs Mayor, who I believe will have to be Master of Ceremonies for the Chinchilla Melon Festival. Good morning to you, Paul.
Yeah, good morning. How are you going?
Paul, mate, weekend. What's the prep been like for you?
Look, I've been trying to smash a few melons against my head and get organised, mate, because one of the records out there in 2009, a guy smashed 47 melons against his head in 60 seconds.
What a genius.
He's still recovering in hospital at the moment, mate.
He'll be okay. Now, Paul, on that, some of the list of events is unlike any other festival in the world. Could you tell us some of the events that are on this weekend for the Chinchilla Melon Festival?
The program is like not just a pamphlet, it's a book. The number of events, there's nearly 50 events on through the week, but this weekend is the big one. Some of the things, Marto, in your days as a wallaby player, some of these would have suited you. We've got the Melon Dash for Cash, the Melon Skiing Competition.
Now, what's Melon Skiing?
Hold on, Paul.
Melon Skiing?
Stop there. They're like, you cut a clog-like hole and you run along with the melons on your feet, don't you?
Yeah, and to shave it perfectly to your foot, you leave the fruit and the meat in there, and you just push your foot into it and squish it in there, then when it fits, you take
off. Like
a
masseur sandal.
Look, it's just, honestly, guys, it's just a fun pack. full program for the whole family for the whole weekend.
Now, is there a king and queen of melons?
I think we're going to have, on some of the big nights, we'll probably have a lot of kings and a lot of queens. It's just a great event for the whole family.
Can I make a suggestion for next year for the king and queen of melons?
I'm sure you will.
Well, obviously, Bryn Edelson's got to get a run for the queen of melons. And what about Dickie Wilkins for the king of melons? The biggest head.
Biggest head in Australia.
The known universe.
Or him and Nate Miles are a dead.
what an evening.
Biggest melon.
And you can't get the crown on. That's great.
They fit into the community, no worries at all. We'd love to have them.
So how many melons do you go through in a melon festival?
Oh, Robert, I really couldn't tell you. It's just, I know they're bringing truckloads in. And one of the competitions, talking about melons, is we do have a competition for the biggest melon ever grown. And this is not talking about heads. This is actually the actual fruit. And the record's back in 2007, it's 87.5 kg. Took two guys to lift it onto the stands, you know.
Wow. That's a big melon.
That's a big melon.
Paul, there is one thing missing I noticed on the advertisements. No watermelon helmet fashioning competition, because everyone always at the cricket, the camera will find some couple of blokes wearing a watermelon helmet. Why nothing to do with that?
Oh, no, that's just a standard practice. That's
boring.
Sorry. It's a beautiful sunny day. People need sun protection, and we're very concerned about that. So everyone wears a melon helmet, you know?
Of course they do. Hey, listen, Paul, it sounds like an absolute ripper. Western Downs Mayor Paul McVeigh, Chinchilla Melon Festival. It's on all this weekend. If you can't get there, then just try and follow it online, because it sounds like an absolute pearler of an event.
It's only 280 km from Brizzy. It'd take you 3.5 hours or so to get up there. Go and have a look.
Have a great melon festival, Paul.
We will. Thanks, guys. And thanks for the opportunity to promote as well. Thanks very much, guys.
Joining us from My Kitchen Rules, he's one of my all-time favourite people. It's the judge, Paleo Pete. Pete, how are you?
I'm awful. We filmed for 4 hours yesterday. It was so hot under the TV lights. And Manu is so sweaty. He kept shaking his head and his sweat went into my mouth. And his sweat tastes like duck fat and creme brulee and Yoplait.
That's awful.
I know, it's awful. I said, you don't even need the lights. Just shine a torch at my teeth. You could light up Suncorp Stadium with the reflection from my teeth. The Gold Coast would have to turn off its power grid to shine a torch at Paleo Pete's whiter than white teeth.
Oh, Pete, you don't sound too happy.
Oh, God, Robin, why would I be happy? I'm so hungry, and I have to eat paleo crap in front of people. They all watch me. I had to have a kale smoothie for breakfast. It tasted like Clive Palmer's toilet brush.
I live in
a prison of my own making. Hey, guys, just on the sly, could you send Pete a donut or a Boston bun? I'm desperate. I'm so desperate, I'll even eat a servo sandwich. I don't care anymore. They found me in the bins outside Baker's Delight last night, just rubbing white sliced bread over my naked body, just trying to get some of the carbs to go in through my suntanned skin.
Still on the line.
I'm so miserable. And Manu is so fat. Have you ever tried to sit next to him on a plane? It's like seven blokes squeezed into a Volkswagen. I have to go.
Okay. Oh, Pete, thank you very much.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks for your report
so
in, though, Pete.
Miserable. I hate my life.
Okay. It'll get good. Thanks, Paleo Pete.
Mick Molloy has joined us. Hello, Mickey.
What?
We're actually going to take some calls about when you've inappropriately run into your boss, because it happened to me in a bikini in Bali.
Yes.
Oh, well, the same thing happened to me.
I was in
a bikini. I was on Bali. I was getting away with it.
You and Mercedes, and you're having a great night.
So hang on. You ran into your boss in a bikini, and why was that? Weren't expecting it?
I wasn't working.
Felt self-conscious? Or?
No, I wasn't working for the network yet, and this was actually the first time I'd met him. I knew who he was. He was, I'm not quite sure he actually placed me, because he wasn't expecting to see me at the buffet.
The eyes stay up. Did his eyes stay on your eyes?
Buddy, have you seen my chest? Of course they did.
Oh, right. Okay.
And they hired you on the spot. Hired that girl. She's got exactly what this company's looking for.
So the reason I bring this up, Mick, is because this was in the early negotiating period of Robin joining this Fair Network. And I said,
and I have to say, I've got the cans out during negotiations. Haven't you, though? I have.
It's a honey trap. And so, Mick, this is why I thought, oh, well, we've got the expert. We've got the expert in seeing your boss outside of work from the radio negotiations, Mickey. Well, remember what happened with you a couple of years ago?
Yeah, so, well, I was in a very tense part of negotiations with this very network. It's called the Triple M Network.
Let's do it.
At the time, and my brother, who was doing negotiations as part of our company, said, now, listen, you're going to this function and you may well run into our boss. Under no circumstances whatsoever bring up where we're at or what stage of negotiations we're at. Don't even talk about it. We're not close to closing this.
Yep. Would it be delicate stage?
Delicate is a good way to describe it.
Right.
So I said, no worries, mate. I'm not an idiot.
Except when.
Yeah. All right. Well, so the next morning, my brother rings me up and goes, yeah, mate, you didn't happen to run into Ben and Mafia last night, did you? I said, I thought I remember. He goes, well, that's interesting because I've got him on the phone. Apparently, I had him in a headlock. Apparently, I had him in a headlock at a work function.
Well done, Grant Hackett.
While I said, you will give me everything I want because I am this company.
Yeah, well.
Oh, how did that work for you, Mick?
Well, they tried to get me out. I had a couple.
No.
No.
Really? So some of the girls from sales organised a quick car to come and pick me up and take me out of there, which I assumed was due to my elevated status with it.
That's right, it's worse.
So as we're leaving, I'm going, see, mate, see how big I am? They bring my cars around. And I was taken out, and I think they say in underworld terms, whacked.
Yeah, that's right. That is so
did you get the money, Mick? Did they...
I got the money.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah. Look at me now.
Look at you now, buddy.
Mind you. And when I meet him, apparently, I was wearing a bikini.
Were you now? Just a beautiful sea folly.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's when Mick Molloy ran into his boss outside of work. When has it happened to you? When have you run into your boss outside of work hours?
Yes. Here we go.
Yeah, Sue from Maruka. When did you run into your boss outside of work?
Well, I was working at South Brisbane and I had resigned and I ran into my boss at the Norman Hotel in a lineup for steaks.
And
it was very awkward because I had resigned and he had given me the silent treatment since I resigned.
Yeah. Oh, what'd you talk about?
And he never spoke to me again. Oh. So we sat there all night and we had a lovely meal, my partner and I. And I just got the stares from him and his brother. And it was I just hold my head up high, love. I'm not worried.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. That's awkward. That is awkward.
Over
of all the restaurants.
Maddie,
you're out at Ipswich. What happened, bro?
I was just starting a job and I pulled a sickie. Thought I'd go down to the pub and turn around and here's the boss.
Oh,
had he also pulled a sickie or was he just there for a lunch?
Yeah, he was there for a work meeting lunch,
Work meeting, sure.
What did you say, Maddie? Did you say that it's part of my recovery?
I ended up... tried buying him a beer to smooth it over, but I got put on all the dodgy jobs for a bit longer after that.
Yeah, and then you moved on, didn't you?
Yeah, no longer working for that company.
I bet.
Well, that'll happen.
A drinking problem, clearly. I wouldn't work there.
Kimberly of Eaton's Hill, where did you run into your boss?
Good morning, guys. Well, like Robin, I was away on holidays at a resort. And I thought I'd take myself down to the sauna. In I walked and I noticed a fairly big fella adjusting himself in his towel. And unfortunately, I got a little bit of an eyeful, sat down and he sort of said, oh, I'm terribly sorry about that. I recognised his voice and it was our biggest of big bosses. I was working for a big law firm at the time. And it was incredibly embarrassing because he'd realised that... yeah, I saw everything.
If only you got a photo.
What a place to bump into your big, big, big boss.
Wow. Kimberly, are you giving him a cuddle by calling him your big boss? Or is that...
Well, possibly no. Look, I made sure I lighten the mood as I can, and made light of it and sort of just brushed it off, you know. And, you know, I said it was kind of good that your wife wasn't sitting beside you because then it would have been, you know, really embarrassing. That was really quite a shock to me.
If you got photos, you could be your 2IC.
Yeah,
no.
I would have thought you could have gone the complete other way with that.
Well, of course, everyone at work, depending on the size of Marto's terry toweling shorts, a lot of people cop an eyeful.
Most mornings,
If the air conditioning is blowing particularly hard.
No, Ed, don't you remember last weekend in the team meeting, Marto wasn't going to come.
Oh, that's right.
And he came out of the men's toilets having changed into.
I was ready to get on my
his
bike.
Lycra riding gear. They threw to him in the meeting, and the only way that Marto could contain his modesty was to hold his proper shorts in the front of him.
Yes, indeed. But then he got way too over gesticulatey and he kept moving his arms around and everyone just got an eyeful anyway.
Yeah, righto.
Nah, it was good stuff. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Now, guys, you know how we've been discussing over the last week the murder of Kim Jong-un's Playboy outcast brother, Kim Jong-nam.
North Korea
and all things politics.
Yes.
I thought that we had completely digested this in every way, shape or form. That was until about 3:45 this morning on the way to work when I heard Luke Boner, who's on Triple M overnight, add an extra layer to this murder mystery story.
These assassins, they're called honey traps, and they're young, attractive North Korean women. They're forced to do this. They learn the art of assassination and espionage, and they infiltrate the world, and they're under orders, and they act like sleepers. And according to reports, they get themselves very close to people involved high up in government or business or both. They're even willing to fall pregnant to people in order to have power over them and cause influence over them. Honey traps. Have a look at it.
Yeah. So for those that don't remember, two women in the Malaysian airport took out this Playboy outcast brother of the North Korean president, and then they have now been arrested. But apparently they have a name and they're called honey trappers.
Yeah. Well, it's a good aim because people don't notice. Girls don't look as dangerous. Yeah, if you're going to be a secret agent, I reckon being a girl's a great idea.
So the Bond chicks have got it all over.
Well, they do, but honey
this
traps...
This is an old thing, though.
Yes, exactly.
This has been around forever.
Really?
You know, for a long time.
I have never heard of a honey trapper.
You've never heard of a honey trap before?
I've never heard of
a
honey trapper.
Private investigators use it. Yeah. If they're going, if a wife comes to a private investigator and says, I think my husband's having an affair, they will often send in a girl that they employ to tempt the husband, and then they see whether he's of that persuasion.
Isn't that a catfisher?
No. That's a Casey Donovan thing.
Yeah,
that's when you're a Nigerian man pretending to be a Swedish woman.
The greatest honey trap of all time.
Been there.
Robin, do you remember the occasion when Warnie was caught with those two girls in his Playboy undies?
You think they were honey trappers?
They were honey trappers. They were from a newspaper. They hired them so they could get the photos to embarrass Warnie. That was a honey trap that he fell into, but he fell into it. He came out of it quite nicely.
Yeah, he did.
So as you two as famous radio guys, are you always on the lookout for the runaway
constantly.
Honey trap?
No, constantly. I mean, I can't tell you. Just
I'm always getting invited into a few apartments. With
everywhere I go, if I sit down in the cafe, most days, two really hot North Korean women sit down opposite me
and spray things at you.
Start spraying me with things.
Oh, I just always wear my Playboy undies in case it happens. Rugby league season a few weeks away from starting. But I want to talk about something. The NRL is looking real stinky at the moment. Their integrity unit, you know, they cleared one of the Broncos, James Roberts, recently, and thorough investigation.
Did we ever find that footage from the nightclub? Did we
No, we didn't.
It dissolved, I think.
It's amazing
how
that happened.
About that. No, something bigger. And it's a Sydney thing, and we don't normally talk about Sydney clubs or give us stuff. Well, it also involves New Zealand. Kieran Foran. Ed, do you know who Kieran Foran is?
Of course I do. He was at Manly, a very good player, and then there were some issues, and then at Parramatta, and then we all know the Parramatta story was full of issues, both salary cap-wise and in the boardroom, but also there were some allegations and some issues around Kieran and his dealings with well-known bookmakers and the like, and it ended up in him taking some break, and it was
Well, the integrity unit looked into him at Parramatta. He went from Manly to Parramatta on a huge contract and then just said, oh, I don't want to be here anymore. And there was match-fixing, you know, connections made to him, and they investigated, said, oh, that's all okay. And then all of a sudden he said, nah, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go over to New Zealand. I'm from – he's the New Zealand halfback too, Robin. He's okay. The New Zealand test half. Outstanding player.
But clearly has some stuff going on.
Yeah, and I wouldn't care. That would be the gloss over. Ed and I would just look at him and go, oh, yeah, silly kid. Yeah, you know, not all that smart. Right. Going home to New Zealand, hopefully get himself sorted out. Well, in the last 24 hours or so, it's come to light. Rebecca Wilson, you probably know
wonderful
who she is.
Wonderful sports journalist who died
probably
from
the greatest
cancer.
Female sports journalist in Australia.
Last October. You know,
but very strong girl. Brizzy girl too. Died of cancer in October. Just before she died, in the weeks before she died, Kieran Foran started texting her. Now, she knew one of the reasons for his breakdown was that he stopped his relationship with his girlfriend. This is Kieran Foran, okay? She knew about it. She was one of the only journos who did know about it. She agreed not to write anything about it. Now
that was
Rebecca Wilson's husband has come out in the last 24 hours. He used to run News Limited for Rupert Murdoch, okay? So her husband was extremely well connected. Yep. He has finally said, no, I can't cop this anymore, because Kieran Foran's been cleared. He's going to go, how can Kieran Foran be cleared when you guys knew what he said? Text messages and phone calls to John Hartigan, this is Rebecca Wilson, to his wife. So he has abused the crap out of the rugby league's
Not only that, right, because I didn't know all the background story on this, but
until this came out.
Talking about it this morning, I was just Googling the type of stuff he said to her. It was so distressing to her, and this was in her final days of life. Now, he would not necessarily have known
He didn't know she had cancer.
But it was so distressing to her that they rang the police to see if he could be warned off. Now, Rebecca Wilson was one of the toughest women in sport.
Yep.
So for her to be that upset, it must have been awful.
Okay, so that's the picture at the moment. So the NRL have gone, righto, we see all that. You know, all these allegations of he's friends with that bloke, he's done that, and they've gone, oh, just have your nice, juicy contract with the Warriors. So now he's gone, I want to go home. He's got an enormous contract. They've said, have 2 weeks off and away you go again. You'll be all good to go. Is that really? Oh, it's because the NRL wants the Warriors to play all right. They've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck at fullback. They need Foran there, and hopefully the Warriors will do something and they can boost their ratings. That's what it's all about. So that's your integrity.
So from my perspective, there would be nothing that should allow that bloke to play ever. Well, maybe for a fair while.
Only a week ago, everyone said he won't be playing in 2017. He's got too many. He's done too much wrong and he's got too many problems.
So as blokes, you agree he should not be playing now?
I think look, and this is a comparison that is being made in other parts of the media, but if Mitchell Pearce got, 8 weeks
and a $125,000 fine.
And for being vigorous in a video petting? Taken by somebody else in a private home where he made some advances towards a dog.
And we laugh about that, but they would crack down at him.
Yeah, and if that was 8 weeks.
So basically the integrity only works unless you want a player to play for a club that needs to win.
Put it this way. If Kieran Foran was a bench player at Newcastle, I think that he would be being made an example of. But because he is the saviour of the Warriors and the saviour of the TV deal that helps in New Zealand, as you know very well, then it means, don't worry about what he says or texts to prominent
women. Yeah, off-field doesn't matter when TV ratings are important.
And it just goes you can bang on as much as you want, Robin, about sort of caring about the women in the game, et cetera. But when something like this happens, it's like, well, what matters more? The way that the women of the game are treated, or
this was a chance for them to say that we really care about women in league, and they clearly don't.
Yep.
Okay, guys, I'm going to give you a whole list of names. They're product names, and you have to guess what the company is. It's pretty clean, actually. Apollo, Blackbody, Black Knight, Legend, Peace, Voodoo. Oh,
I got it. They're all the names of escorts that Charlie Sheen has married.
True, but they're also available in Australia. Let me give you the top three. Africa.
Ah, oh, yep.
Anarchy.
Yeah.
Dark Temptation.
They're all
there. You're there?
Yeah, Lynx.
Yes.
Lynx.
Now, my question also is this. Is there anyone over the age of 15 that still wears Lynx? Because I was walking around the house yesterday doing a bit of a tidy up and I collected 9 cans of Lynx.
You've got three boys.
Three teenage boys.
That's three cans to a boy. And do they, depending on what they're doing, are they, what's, you know, if they're going out with their friends, is it, all right, better wear Dark Temptation? Or is it, what's, or is Lynx Africa?
Yeah, what did they have?
Well, they fight over, because I'm a very paranoid mother that I cannot stand stinky boys. I can't stand it. So I'm of the ilk that if we're going through the shopping centre at any point in time, if they want to throw deodorant into the trolley, I'm all good with it. Okay. But they do fight.
You're an enabler.
I am an enabler of the nine pound of Lynx. But they get really narky with each other if they all go for the same one. So if Africa is the flavour of the schoolyard, they can't all be having Africa. So there'll be a fight between Africa and anarchy normally.
Wow. What does anarchy smell like?
Yeah, what does anarchy smell like?
I don't know.
A Molotov cocktail?
I've just been handed Excite.
Oh. Excite?
What's in that?
Hold on. Where did you just pull that from?
I did my handbag. No. No. Actually, one of our producers, Sam, just gave it
That's
to me.
That's what I thought. Well, now, Sam is in his 30s and he still is using Lynx. That's a worry. Why does Sam wonder why he's single? There's a pointer.
He's using the wrong one. He needs Dark Temptation.
Yeah. That's the way you want to
7 o'clock.
Meet chicks.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
The Grant Hackett situation. Last night there were reports that he was missing, Claire. This is it's strange getting stranger. Front page of the Gold Coast Bulletin, there's the photograph of him that he put out of his face damage. And then details that it started to go wrong for Grant this time at the wedding, the New Year's Eve wedding of Michael Phelps in America.
It is a messy one, but mental health and struggles, I guess, always are, guys. But yes, as far as we know, so yesterday throughout Brekkie, you'll remember we were talking about, you know, the fact that the family were making those desperate pleas for help. Mm. We then, soon after we probably went off air, it was around lunchtime yesterday, we heard from the family themselves that Grant was missing, okay? So they said that he had checked out of the Versace Hotel down the Gold Coast. That happened at about 7 in the morning, and he hadn't been seen since then. So the family made an appeal for help at that point to see if anyone found him. That appeal was going on throughout the afternoon. He was found last night, sort of around 5 o'clock. We got the word that he was safe and sober.
It's not a bad day going straight from the watch house to the Palazzo Versace. If anyone doesn't know, it'd have to be one of the most expensive hotels in Queensland, wouldn't it, Rob? Would that be right?
No, definitely. But I thought part of the deal was that he had to go into rehab. Like, that's why he was released and the handcuffs were taken off, on the proviso that he would go and get help.
And that's the problem, I guess, is that he's not being forced to get help, but it's obviously the suggestion. And he had admitted he needed help at that point.
And Claire, so they're saying now that it's got to do with a breakup of a relationship?
Yeah, so supposedly he had cleared, you know, we're all talking about his Instagram and everyone's keeping a close eye on the Instagram after his post yesterday. On his Instagram, he removed all mentions of this girlfriend that he'd had only a few days earlier. So he's been going through this for a few days.
So her name, she's a law student and her name is Maggie Keating.
Yeah, hey, you go further back. I did a bit of a search last night. You go further back and he 2 months after he started going out with her, he bought a Mercedes for her.
Did he? Whoa. For a birthday or just
you
because?
Check that one out on the internet. Yeah.
Well, why am I even asking? It's a Mercedes.
for a present. Yeah, for a present. Like, it gets weirder and weirder. So he's got his problems.
Where to now, Claire? What's the next thing that they are saying?
Oh, I know what happens next. What do you send? What happens with rugby league players? He'll go to a French rugby club.
Happening now, guys, is everyone's having their say about what's going to happen, and everyone's having their say about what's gone wrong with Hackett. So I don't know if you've seen this morning, but the coach Brian Sutton, he's been speaking on the tallies this morning. He actually reckons it's an actual biological problem that leads to these mental health issues. Remember, Libby Trickett yesterday was saying, you know, that this happens a lot, especially in swimming. He reckons, this swimming coach reckons, that they're actually addicted to dopamine, which is this successful hormone. So what they're saying is when they give up the sport, they need to find some other way of measuring life success. So now we've got everyone weighing in on what's happening. Grant himself, we understand, according to his family, has gone into hiding.
Yeah,
he's very embarrassed.
He's embarrassed and ashamed. Yeah. And how bad must it be that your family are using the media
to say you're missing.
To say and to keep using the media to try and find him. Like this to me says that this guy has hit rock bottom.
God, I hope he gets better. Ed, so Robin, we've all spoken to him over the years. He's such a wonderful,
lovely
human
family.
Being,
we've spoken to the family.
And
they're
you know, lovely. There are people as well, I will say, guys, who are struggling not so publicly at the moment. That's and true. If, you know, if anyone's listening this morning who is in that position, a good place to go would be the Black Dog Institute website. They're a charity partner of us at Triple M. So they're on blackdoginstitute.org.au if you do need to reach out.
Thank you, Claire. We'll speak to you later on. Yeah, okay, guys. So real estate prices on the move in Brisbane. Some news over the last couple of days of a... there was a suburb... Well, the headline that I saw was a suburb 20 kilometres from the CBD with a $960,000 median price.
Where are we?
Which one?
Well,
20 k's from the city. Which, north, south, east or west?
Hold on. I might be onto this. Carindale?
Rochedale.
Rochedale. Although the Rochedale Rovers, because we've played them in football, there are lots of...
Everything revolves around soccer,
mate,
it
does. That's how I get around Brisbane. There are big McMansions in Rochedale.
Yep, that's true.
There really are.
So Carindale. Carindale's got these enormous mansions as well on a couple of streets.
And in fact, they've just updated, not right now, but just I've read a little bit further, is that Rochedale has now gone up. And so it's one of the, it's cracked over the $1 million median house price this year, which means that it's gone up 9.5% over the last 12 months.
When they say this year, you mean 2017?
Up to the end of last year. So it's, there's only a few, there's not that many there.
Did I see there's 20 suburbs have hit $1 million?
Yeah. I mean, there's all the predictable ones like Bulimba and Hawthorne and Paddington and Clayfield and New Farm. Interesting though, no Ascot. And I've got a theory on that.
What is it?
All the houses at Ascot are worth millions, more than $1 million.
No one sells. If you're in Ascot, darling, you stay in Ascot.
Well, you used to, Marty. Right. What happened when you used to? Where did you used to do that?
When I found out where the money was in renovations, we were doing a lot. We used to do a lot in Paddington in the 80s and 90s, all right? And then we went, hold on, all the rich people live at Ascot. So we started to work over there. It was extraordinary. Every street in Ascot, wherever we worked, because you're working for rich people, all had servants. They were just...
Really?
Huge. Everyone, they all get things
servants,
done.
Servants? Like people who live in?
Tradies and stuff.
Oh, okay.
It was just, they just needed to look out the road and go, well, I've got people working at my house. It was just incredible. That's what happens at Ascot.
So what did you do, though? Like, was it serious work? Because I imagine with the Queensland, like in Paddington...
Oh, sometimes you do a major, like, eight-month reno, but there was one place where we used to be booked in 6 weeks every year. They'd go, they didn't know what they wanted done, but they just knew they needed us
to
for 6 weeks.
Do what?
Just to fix things up.
Were you on an hourly rate or were you on a 6 month?
For that 6 weeks we were. Never had to give a quote. Just paid everyone there $40, $45 an hour.
Oh, my Lord.
Happy days.
Happy days.
You still got that contract?
Yeah.
No. Working with you.
Yeah, that's why he's in radio.
So the top five, Tenerife, number one.
Tenerife?
Yep. Yeah, that would make
sense. Are these houses or units? They're houses.
Well, it says house prices, but I never know if they kind of townhouses and really large apartments, those two levels. I think they move it around slightly.
Are you saying median is median, the average? Well,
average.
Slightly different to the average, but close to it. Of more than $1 million.
Yeah. New
there
Farm's 1.6.
How many houses at Tenerife?
Ascot at 1.3, Hawthorne 1.2, and then Hamilton rounds it out at 1.2.
Okay.
But this is getting... It's coming. Remember when people were moving from the other states because it was affordable, you know, cheap to get a house, whatever. It's moving pretty quickly.
Yeah, but that's still cheap. If you sell your budgie cage with two bedrooms or three bedrooms in Sydney, you'll get your $1.5 million. You come up here and you buy a 4 or 5 bedroom house.
Yeah, except though that some of those people down south still think it's really cool to buy a great palatial mansion on Coochie Mudlow.
Oh, go right ahead. If anyone can ring me and tell me whether there is one of them in existence, I'd be very surprised. Wow.
Guys, the new national netball competition. We got some new teams. We booted out the Kiwis. Yeah. Wonderful decision there. Excellent work. It's starting at the Entertainment Centre Saturday night. It's also going to be broadcast on 9 Gem, and leading the Firebirds to victory is their new captain, Gabby Simpson, who joins us in the studio. Hello.
Hello. How are you going?
We're okay.
Who no, is Gabby Simpson? Because everyone will go, oh, what happened to that Laura? Where's Laura?
Yeah.
Well, she's preggers, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. All she's right. literally about to pop.
So. We know that, but hold on. Tell me your background, Gabby, for everybody.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Sydney. I know, controversial. However, right. I moved up to Queensland 5 years ago, sure. And I've played with the Firebirds ever since. And pretty much being a part of the Firebirds is such a huge part of my life.
Are you nervous about taking on the big role?
Yeah, definitely. Some nerves come into it, that's for sure. But I guess the pieces of advice I've got from the likes of Geitsy is that you just have to worry about your role. And the team that we have around me have proved throughout this preseason that they can take care of their own role, and they're just fantastic at doing that. So that takes the pressure off me, and I can just play a bit of netty and let my gals do their thing.
The most important thing about the Firebirds, how's Romelda going?
Oh. Phenomenally, yeah. Yes. Just she as tall really as ever. Is.
She's incredible.
As tall as ever.
Amazing. I saw her on a street corner in the city, and seriously, like, the cars were slowing down because yeah. she's just such a presence.
I watched yeah. you guys on the telly yesterday in the gym. Did she do some incredible things in the gym? Like, is she mighty strong as well?
Yeah, she is strong and she is fast. I mean, she takes 3 steps and she covers God. 5 metres. So
what
it's
a joy.
An absolute pleasure to have her in my team. And she's also my housemate. So
oh,
like,
wow.
we're great friends.
We're talking to Gabby Simpson, the captain of the Queensland Firebirds in the new, what is it called, the new National Netball Competition? What's its official title?
It's the Suncorp Super Netball League.
Suncorp Super Netball. It's on a Channel 9, on the Gem Channel. Now, have you been watching any of the women's AFL?
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch a lot of it because I've been overseas on tour.
Sure, okay.
But it's been amazing to see some of the feedback on the numbers
and
that
the
people have been coming yeah, the to the games. And
yes, yes.
Are you jealous or happy for them? Mm.
It's fantastic.
Isn't it?
Because, I mean, one, it's great for women. That's amazing. Yeah. But the other thing is that sports are competitive, and that's the administration as well. So the better the AFL does, the better the netball will do, because they'll continue to compete. And it's just fantastic to see so many females. You know, you read through the papers these days in the back section, and there's just females all over the back page.
But netball's always, it's yeah. the most participated sport in the country. Mm. I mean, and blokes play a lot of netball as well. Mm. They're not as good as you guys. No, they aren't.
Yeah.
I honestly, have
I've
you boys ever
going.
Played?
Yeah,
yeah.
I have, yeah.
But the girls are better.
Oh, of course they are. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
So it makes sense that it's finally getting a go.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's exactly it. There are so many people that play it. And I guess now being on Channel 9, it's fantastic that everyone can now watch it. And the more people that watch it, then the more sponsors and those types of things that get involved. But it's yeah. really taking off.
Hey, we will let you go because you've got training and important things to do. But if you can get yourself to the Entertainment Centre, do so for this weekend. And or if you can't get there, then make sure you watch it on Channel 9 Gem, the Suncorp Super Netball Series, hopefully going to be won by our Queensland Firebirds.
We got any tickets?
You got any tickets?
Yeah, can we give some away? Say yes.
Of course, yeah. More the merrier.
Double pass to give away right now. 1-3-3-5-3 Firebirds Captain Gabby Simpson.
Thanks,
thank
Gabby.
You so much.
Brilliant, thank you.
Guys, quickly, one word, no, snap poll, one word answer from the three of you. Am I wrong to be proud and impressed by the people that the local, just Brisbane locals, that jumped out of their cars and out of their building sites to try and tackle that bloke that had stolen the car and drove it insanely through the streets 2 days ago? Am I wrong to be proud of those people?
No.
No, not at all.
Okay, excellent.
I love those blokes.
I love them. Well, Marley, you say blokes, but it's everybody, because I've reviewed the footage a number of times. The last bit of footage when he stops the car in and around that big building sites around sort of, what are we calling it, South Brisbane-y
Gabba.
Kind of Gabba area, right?
What about the guy that dived out of his car and landed flat on his face on the road?
That was a woman.
Oh, was it?
There was a woman who attempted a round the legs tackle from out of her car.
That was a female.
Yeah,
she didn't
right?
succeed.
And then there was
she hit the dirt.
She did hit the dirt, but what an attempt! Yeah. And then there's a tradie that went, a guy in high vis that went the shoulder charge, and then another two blokes.
Then the white shirt guy.
Yeah, white shirt guy almost nabs him, but I think he's running in thongs, so it's a little bit harder for him.
It's hard chase.
And the guy that didn't drop his smoko.
Yeah, the guy was
he's come out of the smoko shed.
I love that guy.
He wanted to get involved, but he didn't know what he was getting involved in.
So he gave it a couple of trots and then went, smoko or guy, no, I'm going to go smoko and stop.
So look, there's more than 10 people that have jumped out to try and tackle this guy, right? I love it. So I'm proud of all those people. And then rewatching it again on the news, I think last night with Tiff, right? Now, the best thing that one of the things that Brisbane does better than anywhere else is eyewitnesses. Now, they always talk about the American eyewitnesses, and yeah, they're kind of sassy and they're sort of fun, but for just pound for pound, for honesty and a bit of fun, you cannot beat Brisbane eyewitnesses. This was a bloke who I hadn't seen the day before, Marto. He had just high vis on, couple of tats, his shirt was open, big grin on his face, and they asked him, all right, what's the first thing you saw? This is his first bit.
It was pretty full on, some young crackhead in a stolen car.
So he's editorialising.
That's speculation.
He's
just generalised. That's
crackhead and stolen car, right? So, all right, son, keep going. All right, so they showed a bit of the footage, and then they've showed the police diving on him after the blokes who were building in the building so I could have held him down. So they've gone back to this guy standing on the road, standing in front of an enormous machine that I'm like, I don't know what that does, but it looks impressive. And they've asked him about the arrest.
Cop has crash tackled him, give him a bit of a biff up. It was pretty cool, man.
What? Of course
it was cool. You got a machine digging or you got cops punching a crackhead with a stolen car. So he's a bit of a biff up. And when he did biff up, he was doing like the, you know, the
oh,
punch,
did he?
Punch into the palm. He was doing
visually showing us.
I didn't know what it meant. He loved a bit of a biff up. It reminded me of someone, Marto. My favourite caller ever and my favourite eyewitness / caller ever on this program for the years that we've been doing it together.
Is that about magpies?
Now, Robin, I don't know if you know this man, but it's time that you met him. He is still to this day my favourite caller of all time, my favourite eyewitness of all time. We were talking about magpies attacking. The magpies have started attacking earlier and earlier, and they're getting more and more ferocious. And we just learnt that magpies remember the people and they attack the same people over and over again, Robin.
Okay.
So we were asking people about... I love this guy.
You love this bloke.
We were asking people about when in their life they've had situations where they've had to deal with magpies. And a hero called Terry from Kalanga gave us a call to tell us what happened with the magpies at his school.
Yeah, mate, there used to be a couple of magpies that used to swoop you on the sports playground. We're in the demountable next minute. We had a knock on the door from the deputy principal saying, don't worry about the loud noise. And two police officers walked across the playground with their shotguns and a two big bangs. That was the end of the magpies.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh. Bird.
Yeah, poor bird.
I shouldn't laugh, but that is such a Queensland thing to have.
Of course it is.
Mate, no one got swooped.
No one got swooped.
Two police officers in uniform shot the magpies out of the trees with shotguns during school time.
See, if we still had cops at every corner with a shotgun shooting any crackheads in stolen cars, we wouldn't have these incidents.
Now, that's a bit of biffo. Yeah. Oh, the magpies got a bit of biffo that day.
That is not the last time you'll hear Terry from Kalanga this year either.
What do you think of Terry, Robin?
I love Terry. Thank you very much, Terry from Kalanga.
So on your toes. We've got to get out of here. We'll catch you Monday.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-ton towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.